First kirtan I led, actually, since Gaur Purnima. Trying to see if I can I can hold up for a few nights. We'll see. I wanted to mention something before beginning. Many of you probably have already heard, but for those who haven't, I thought I should give you a little update about our mother Isha. For those of you who do not know Isha, Isha is my god sister, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. She was initiated by Prabhupada in, I think, 1970, 71, somewhere around there. And she used to transcribe Prabhupada's lectures. She lived in Bombay for some time. She moved back to America and she'd been living in Cape Cod for the last, I don't know, long time. And she comes up to the temple quite regularly. And she is now 89 years old. She's not a young woman. So anyways, I found out last week, I received a phone call. She had a stroke. And it took me some time to find out exactly where she was and how she was. Because I guess the message was left on the answering machine here at the temple. Somebody had called, and nobody checked the messages for till about 2 or 3 days later. And then that's how I got word a few days later, after the fact. And by that time, she had been taken into the Cape Cod Hospital and was given emergency treatment. I can tell a little things related to this because I do want to speak about it. And it was quite serious. She had been that day shopping with a friend of hers who I would like to speak about briefly also, which will give you a little bit of an understanding of Isha's personality. And she returned home at 2 o'clock shopping with this friend. And I guess she went out and she had a stroke at the bottom of the stairs, fortunately. It wasn't at the top of the stairs. And she was found lying on the floor unconscious. And they called and immediately brought her to the hospital and gave her emergency treatment. And for the first few days, it was very difficult. They didn't know how much damage was done, and she was very unresponsive. She couldn't even open her eyes for some time. And then when I finally got the message, and I found out where she was through the assistance of my sister, who happens to live just a few miles from the hospital where Isha is staying, I contacted the hospital and found that one girl named Sandy was with her. Sandy is somebody whom Isha met 15 years ago when she went into a health food store to purchase some food. And Mother Isha, who's known for her unending ability to tell everybody she meets about Krishna, happened to tell this girl Sandy something about Krishna, and she became so captivated with Isha that she was with her practically every day that she lived in Hyannis. And she claims she's not a devotee of Krishna, but she's a devotee of Isha. And as far as I'm concerned, that's as good as being a devotee of Krishna, because Isha doesn't speak about anything except Krishna. When I called, she was there in the hospital. She also didn't find out. She was with Isha the day of the stroke, but she left her at 2 o'clock. She moved from Hyannis to another city nearby, Sandwich, a few years back. And since that time, she could only see Isha once a week. She wasn't there, and then somehow she was notified, she was contacted. Because Isha has no family. She's the youngest of 10 children. So, and she's 89, and her brother departed a few years back, who was the second besides her, who were remaining from the whole family. So she has no family. She has no, she has no offspring. She has a niece who's a Christian, who that's not very supportive of Isha. So all she has is Sandy and the gate. Sandy was there at the time I called, and she put Isha on the phone. The first thing Isha said was, she said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada." It's the first thing that came out of her mouth. So I knew she was somewhat okay. But she had just started speaking a little bit. She's lost most of her memory. When the caseworker was speaking to her, Isha didn't know where she lived, actually. She doesn't remember anything about the stroke, and she's forgotten a lot of things. So when I came immediately the next day, I could see that she's definitely not Isha. And Sandy was sitting, tears in her eyes, you know. She's not quite the same. She gets angry, but her anger is not because of anything that's provoked by anybody, but she gets angry because she can't connect. She can't connect to the things that are being said to her. She's looking for something, but her memory is quite gone. Quite a bit gone. So, it's only 1 week now after the stroke. They still don't know the full extent of the damage, but she did give a couple of positive signs. And one of the signs was, at least that I saw two of them, is that I was telling the caseworker, I met with myself and with Sandy, and Damodar also came. he arrived in the middle of our discussion. And I was saying that little bit about Isha's past. She was the caseworker, needed to know these things because she couldn't get anything from Isha. She couldn't remember. So, as I said, as far as I knew, Isha, and Sandy confirmed, she was quite independent. She was capable of quite being able to take care of her things herself. Although she was 89 years old, she would be able to go shopping, she would get around, she would even come to the temple up till 2 years ago by herself. Used the word independent. Isha didn't like that. She said, I'm never independent from Krishna. So I took that as a good sign. And then one of the therapists came over. She has to go through therapy. She has to be taught practically how to do everything. Again, she didn't know how to answer the phone. And she didn't know. She doesn't know a lot of things. She doesn't even know how to dress. And so the therapist came over to take Isha for his therapy session. And the first thing Isha said to her was, looked up and said, "Are you a vegetarian?" And Sandy immediately got excited because, "That's the Isha I know." So, and a whole conversation then ensued. The woman immediately, she took it very seriously. And she said, "Well, actually, I don't eat red meat, but I know I should be a full vegetarian." And she said, "Maybe you can help me." And then, you know, Damodar started telling her different things she could take. And Isha was doing her preaching still. So she has some good signs. But the last I heard was yesterday, and that is pretty much is that Isha can't do anything unless she's suggested to do it. Yeah. Otherwise, she can't. And she's going to probably need what the caseworker described as supervised care when she's released from the rehabilitation hospital. So we're all a little bit concerned. We don't know quite yet what we're going to do for Isha. But she is my mother, and she's very dear to me. I've always told stories in the former Soviet Union. When I give examples, these devotees can tell you, they all know who Isha is, because I always preach her glories wherever I go. That I says, this woman is going to go back to Godhead at the end of this life, and I have no doubt about it. And so her future after this lifetime is quite bright, but meanwhile, until it comes to that point, we have to decide what her immediate future will be. So we're going to have some discussion in the upcoming days about things that we could possibly do. We'll have to consider different options. Sandy just cannot tolerate putting her into a nursing home. And we may try to bring her to Vrindavan. We don't know. So this is a little, for those of you who know Isha, please pray for her. As far as her Krishna consciousness is concerned, it's there. But what will happen between now and the time she departs? Well, actually, also I heard yesterday, Damodar told me when he spoke to the caseworker yesterday, it appears that she had already had several strokes before that one. When they did an MRI, they found that she had, in the course of time, she had already had several strokes. They don't know when, they couldn't date it, but so this is another added feature. Which hospital is this? Cape Coast? She is in what's called the Rehabilitation Hospital of the Cape and the Islands. It's in East Sandwich. East Sandwich. Down off of Route 6. The caseworker said to us, it would be very good that people that she knows, if they could come, something could jog her memory. So I'm going, Damodar goes every 2 days and visits and brings her prasadam. And those of you who know her might want to visit her. Gita Priya, who Isha adored, because in the conversation I was having with Sandy, somehow we were talking about different people, and Damodar brought up Gita Priya's name, and Sandy said, Gita Priya, that's it. She always talks about Gita Priya. She adores Gita Priya. So, I called Gita Priya, and she's coming up on Saturday. And she's going to go visit Isha. And if others would like to visit her, visiting hours are from 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 8 in the evening.
8 in the evening?
Yeah, every day. And it's pretty open. Anyone can go. And take darshan of Mother Isha.
Yeah. She's Mother Ashoda. Mother
Ashoda. Any questions? I think your moon is going down, isn't it?
It'll be going on Saturday.
On Saturday, right? With Gita Priya, they're going together. Yeah, okay. So, I was going to read from a Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I'm going to jump through ahead a little bit and read a couple of my favorite chapters, which is towards the end of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And Brihad Bhagavatamrita was written by Srila Sanatana Goswami. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has also given his commentary of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, known as Bhagavatamrita Kana. And Srila Sanatana Goswami has also given his own commentaries and of the original text. And contained in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the original verses and his own commentary, which Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and our BBT team, consisting of Jayadvaita Maharaj and Keshava Bharati Maharaj, Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and Dravida Prabhu, and they have performed a wonderful service to the society by preparing this publication, giving its the original texts and commentaries by Srila Sanatana Goswami. This Brihad Bhagavatamrita is actually the conversation that took place between Janmanjaya and Jamini. And the sage Janmanjaya, he is the son of Parikshit Maharaj, who heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Shukadeva Goswami. And he was very eager to hear about this discussion because it was a discussion that took place between Parikshit and his mother Uttara. And Uttara, as we know, Parikshit had taken his birth in the womb of Uttara. And there was the whole pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam how Ashwatthama was trying to kill or destroy the remaining descendants of the Pandavas, and that therefore he had thrown a brahmastra aimed to destroy Parikshit so he could finish off the whole dynasty. And Uttara, she came before Lord Krishna praying to please protect her womb, and Krishna, as we know, entered into the womb of Uttara and protected Parikshit Maharaj within the womb by counteracting the brahmastra that was invoked by Ashwatthama, and therefore protecting him. And therefore Parikshit, his name means the examiner, which means that Krishna had entered into the womb and protected him, and through his whole life he was looking for that same Supreme Lord whom he personally receive darshan within the womb of Uttar, who appeared there to protect him. And as we know also, the Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken because Parikshit Maharaj had received the curse of the son of Shamik Rishi, known as Sringi. Although he was the emperor of the whole world, then one time Shamik Rishi had entered, Parikshit Maharaj entered into the hermitage of Shamik Rishi, who was sitting in devotional meditative trance in the Lord, and Parikshit Maharaj was impelled to punish Shamik Rishi for failing to recognize that he had appeared in that place and not even offering him a seating place and a glass of water. So he was prompted to take a dead snake on the sage who was deep in meditation, and garlanded that snake around the neck of Shamik Rishi. Now, of course, we know that Parikshit Maharaj was prompted to do this by the Lord, as by the will of the Lord, so that ultimately Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. He is a pure devotee of the Lord, and certainly was not in any way offended. But it was setting the whole scene for the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the result was is that when Sringi, the son of Shamik Rishi, came to that place and saw his father in meditation, and the snake garlanded around his neck, he decided that he would use his brahminical powers to invoke a curse and to curse Parikshit Maharaj to die within 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. So that set the scene. Parikshit Maharaj, then upon hearing about this curse, he totally accepted the curse, and he inquired from this sage, Shukadeva Goswami. He wanted to hear from him what is the duty of a man who is about to die. And although Parikshit Maharaj had all powers to counter curse, just as it was stated by Shamik Rishi himself, when he learned that his son Sringi had cursed such a great devotee of the Lord as Parikshit Maharaj, he was very disturbed. And he tried to consider, how is it that my son could have committed such an offense as cursing such a Vaishnava as Parikshit Maharaj? And within his heart he began to think that the appropriate way to deal with his son would be that if Parikshit Maharaj would come to curse him, because he had all powers to do so. He could have easily counter-cursed and relieved himself of the curse and counter-cursed Sringi. But then Shamik Rishi realized that Parikshit Maharaj is such a great Vaishnava. And he quoted that verse, Taraskrita vipralabdha kshapta kshipta hata api nasitat patikurvanti tad bhakta kavayopihi. He said that devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even if they are cheated, neglected, disturbed, insulted, cursed, or even killed, they're never inclined to avenge themselves. So he realized that Parikshit Maharaj would never counter curse. He's such a great Vaishnava because he's so forbearing, and Parikshit Maharaj just simply accepted the curse. Therefore, Shamik Rishi just simply raised his arms and prayed to the Lord, please, forgive my son for this great offense. Parikshit will never counter curse him. Parikshit Maharaj accepted the curse, and then he went to the banks of the Ganges to prepare himself to fast until death, as he heard news, 7 days left before he would leave his body. And then, appearing on that place in the bank of the Ganges, his spiritual master appeared, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and Parikshit Maharaj asked his question, what is the duty of a man who's about to die? And Shukadeva Goswami said that about to die, then the best thing that he can possibly do is to hear about, remember, and to serve the Supreme Lord, who is the Super Soul, the soul out within the hearts of all living beings. Tasmat Bharata Savatma. One should hear about, remember, and worship Sri Krishna, who is the Super Soul in the hearts of all beings. And therefore, Parikshit Maharaj sat and listened to Shukadeva Goswami for 7 continuous days. And then after completing the recitation of Bhagavatam, and just before the bite of the snake, Uttara appeared. And Uttara said, please, she was very eager to hear it, to please give me the essence of everything you've learned. She wanted to get the essence. She knew that Parikshit Maharaj didn't have time to recite the whole Bhagavatam, although he heard it and remembered everything. So she asked for the essence. The essence of everything he heard from Srimad Bhagavatam is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He told his mother the whole story of first this story of Narada Muni, and how Narada Muni wanted to find the person who was the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. That is the first part. And the second part is the story of Gopakumara and his journey throughout the entire universe, and how he had actually achieved the topmost position as becoming an eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan and achieving his eternal form as a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna. So this whole story was told by Parikshit to Uttara. And this sage Jaimini happened to be present at the time. And he heard everything. So Janmanjaya asked Jaimini, you heard everything, can you please tell me? What did my father tell my grandmother before he departed? And that is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And it's Sanatana Goswami, as Prabhupada has stated this in relationship. He says, our divine master has revealed, he says, anyone who wants to know about the subject matter of devotees, devotional service, and Krishna must read this book. This is Prabhupada's quote, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti. Anyone who wants to know about devotees, devotional service, and Krishna, what else is there? Devotional service, Krishna and his devotees. It's ultimately, and specifically Prabhupada is speaking about that. He's speaking about, you know, the topmost devotees, those devotees who have the greatest love for Krishna and the recipients of the greatest mercy of Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami has given this wonderful book. I personally have been so inspired, at least by the rendering that has been given by my godbrothers. Forgive me, I don't mean to be judgmental about anything that's been produced in our society, but my humble opinion, it's my opinion, that this Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the most profound literature produced by our society since Prabhupada's departure. And the purports, the commentaries, are so chaste to the Srila Prabhupada's mood, that when I read these commentaries, I have such faith. I cannot tell you such faith. they're not Gopi Puranadana Prabhu's commentaries, but there's Sanatana Goswami's commentaries. But I have such faith that he's captured Sanatana Goswami's commentaries and has translated these verses in a very chaste way, in the same way that our beloved Srila Prabhupada had taken the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, and Baladeva Vijayabhushan, and has given us Srimad Bhagavatam, and has given his Amrita Pravaha Bhasha commentaries of Chaitanya Charitamrita, of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Tikas of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. All Vaishnava Acharyas, that's what they do. They don't simply give their own commentaries, but they also take the commentaries of the previous Acharyas. And as we know, that anyone who thinks their commentaries are superior to the previous Acharyas, Lord Chaitanya himself set the example when Vallabha Bhatta tried to tell him that his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam were superior to Sridhara Swami's. Lord Chaitanya took the opportunity to forbid anyone from hearing Vallabha Bhatta's commentaries. And himself, he personally chastised them. And And when Balabhadra came before him, begging for him, please, won't you hear my commentary so that this mud of shame that has been, nobody will listen to me, anyone I go to, no one will even listen to my commentaries. You don't know the such shame that I'm experiencing. Why will nobody listen? And when Lord Chaitanya heard Balabhadra speaking in this way, Lord Chaitanya began by glorifying Nityananda, Ramananda Roy, Haridas, all the different Vaishnavas, and saying, he glorified all the Vaishnavas, and making him understand that without the mercy of Vaishnavas, you have no ability at all to give any commentary. And so therefore he chastised Balabhadra and made him understand that, you know, you must, if you want to give commentaries, you must do it in the line of our previous acharyas, and do not think that your commentaries will in any way can surpass. Just as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami always speaks about Vrindavan Das Thakur, who had previously written Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami would say that, you know, if you want to hear the essence of this lila, then you must read Śrīla Caitanya Bhāgavata. He said, I cannot possibly speak. I will simply take what the remnants which have already been chewed, and anything that he has not already expanded upon, I will expand upon that. But the Vaishnavacharyas never think. So our PBT translators have taken these wonderful commentaries and have actually, in a very chaste and profound way, have given us Śrīla Sanātana Goswāmī's work of Śrī Bihad Bhagavatamrita. So, that is a little introduction of what Brihad Bhagavatamrita is. It's already 7 o'clock. And I'd like to... I guess it's time for arti. And I'll start tomorrow. And I'm going to start with Chapter 6, Purna. I'll give a little summary of leading up to Chapter 6, and then I'm going to read from Chapter 6. And basically what this section of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is describing is that Narada Muni is very, very eager to see which devotee has become the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. And he makes a journey. He makes a journey from here on this earth to the heavenly planets, to Vaikuntha, to Shiva Loka, and then to Kimpurusha Loka, talks to Hanuman, and Sutala, speaks to Prahlad, and then he goes to Vaikuntha, goes to Dwarka, and speaks to the residents of Dwarka, the Yadavas, and then he goes to Uddhava, and hears some Uddhava, and then we're going to hear some very special discussions that take place in the presence of Uddhava and the residents of Dwarka and Krishna, who is also there. And we'll get an opportunity to see, at least very descriptively, what is it that illustrates or demonstrates how a devotee has actually been the recipient of Krishna's mercy. And one of the characteristics is a devotee is never thinking that he's gotten Krishna's mercy. And we'll see. He never thinks he has enough love for Krishna. He never thinks he does enough service for Krishna. And he never thinks he's been the recipient of mercy. That's one of the characteristics of devotees who's actually been a recipient of Krishna, of Krishna's mercy. But we'll see. Very nice description of at least we'll give a little summary of this mentality that exists within these various devotees who've all been recipients of Krishna's mercy. But still, when one looks at it objectively, we'll see also that the devotees in Vrindavan, and especially the gopis of Vrindavan, and especially Srimati Radharani, their love for Krishna is insurpassable. And that love that they have for Krishna, of course, is a symptom of how they've been recipients of the Lord's mercy, because one cannot have love for Krishna without the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, we understand that is why Advaita Acharya prayed for the Lord to appear to distribute devotional service, because only the Lord Himself can distribute the type of devotional service and love which is experienced by the residents of Vrindavan. Therefore, He had to come again to distribute that kind of unique love. And He did so as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And He broke open the storehouse of love and distributed His mercy profusely in that incarnation. But we'll see, at least from this description of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, a little bit about the characteristics of those who have received the mercy of the Lord. So we'll give a little summary, as we said tomorrow, as I said today, of the tomorrow we'll give that summary of the chapters prior to chapter 6, and then we'll begin reading from chapter 6 tomorrow. Any questions?
When Maharaja Parikshit asked to give essence of all 7 days Srimad Bhagavatam, he spoke these two stories which we cannot find in Srimad Bhagavatam at all, about Narada Muni going and Gopa Kumar. So did he actually give the essence of the principles?
Yes, so he gave the essence of the principles of everything that he learned.
But these two stories, where do they come originally from? Where did he hear? Yeah. Or did he make them? Or they actually
existed? They were revealed in his heart. As was with Sanatana Goswami. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us Jiva Dhamma. Yes. Huh? Yes. That is those who actually, then these leelas are all revealed within the heart. So he gave the essence, he gave which is the principles. But also we have to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam consists of a lot more than what we have here in this universe too. And Bhagavatam has many other pastimes and descriptions in other universes. And this is what we have, is just Bhagavatam in this universe. But there are many other, I mean, if Krishna's pastimes are unlimited and cannot, and if Ananta Shesha has been going on speaking them unlimited eternally with his thousands of mouths, and if we can reach Srimad Bhagavatam within a fixed period of time, how is that everything? So there's a lot more than we have in Srimad Bhagavatam, and in other universes there are many other leelas that have, that are described in Bhagavatam. All right. So we'll stop here. And tomorrow evening, begin. Thank you. Hare Krishna.